Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Qur'an Hakim for the human beings, Allah ta'ala has presented and explained two conditions, two different conditions and scenarios. And in the light of the verses of the Qur'an, the pious predecessors, our pious elders, they have shed some light on the meaning, the explanation, because who knows more than Allah with regards to the condition of man and the situation that surrounds mankind. Nobody knows more than Allah. And the first thing that Allah Ta'ala has stated in the Qur'an Hakim, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned His reward. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا, Allah Ta'ala said in the Qur'an, that when I upon my servants give ni'mas, when I give them my ni'mas, my rewards, treasures, then Allah Ta'ala explains that feeling that the people acquire. What does the man do at that time? Allah Ta'ala's rewards, Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas, they are not just a few. In reality, Allah Ta'ala says that our whole body is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole body. Allah Ta'ala says, you cannot count that my ni'mas are untold, infinite, infinite, without any ending, countless. Which ni'mas shall we speak about? Where shall we start from? Where can we end from? From head to toe, the body of the human being, the whole life of the human being. Everything is the ni'mah upon the mankind, upon the human being. Everything that we have and what's around us. But the standard that we have made of ni'mas is this, that if Allah Ta'ala gives to us according to what we want and our desires, what we desire, that's what we need. Then we are happy. Then we are very, very, we rejoice. We say, oh, Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah's grace, Allah's mercies of Allah. But we don't know what the result will be. And if Allah Ta'ala doesn't give, if He doesn't give what we want to fulfill our desires, then we start to cry and complain and beat our chests and we grieve and we are down and with sorrow. And the human being hasn't understood this point yet. Imagine that Allah Ta'ala hasn't, the human being hasn't understood his link with his creator. And this is am. This is common. I'm speaking about those who have iman. I'm not talking about those who don't have iman. There's no mention here of that. But according to our desires, what we want, we raise our hands, we want it straight away, immediately. Oh, Allah is Ghafoor, Rahim, Allah is Karam, Mercy, Allah. We remember Allah that when we're at the Kaaba, Masjid Nabwi, etc., then we'll go and do things that Allah Ta'ala wants. And but if we don't get what we desire, and we ask Allah for a boy or a boy, and then a girl comes into the family, a girl is born, then we don't remember Allah or His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says those wazifas, the recitation and the du'as you're doing, everything you will forget. So this is the link that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the relationship we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suddenly our mood goes off. Rather, this is a basic factor. If we have a father or a mother and the child is persisting, I want to eat an orange. Your children, you know, they persist. They want something specific, and the mother says, I don't want you to have this orange, it's bitter. And the child doesn't know that it's bitter, he just wants to eat the orange. Looks nice, colourful, and the mother doesn't give it, and the child is crying, shrieking. Is this dhulub? No, this is not oppression, because the mother knows if I give the orange to the child, it's a little bit bitter, and he'll have a sore throat, and then he'll have to take medicines, and he'll be unwell, or she'll be unwell, my child. So the mother is protecting the child. But the child, he continues to do zid and force his case or her case, I want to eat, and beating the mother or pushing the mother. And we are worse than the child, that whatever we ask from our Mawla, if Allah Ta'ala, our Lord, doesn't give, Allah knows best what will happen if I give this to this person. If I give him a son, what do you know that this son, what he will do with you? And you will distribute the laddus and the sweet meal for a few days and express your happiness. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala said, I know best. I know best. If I give or if I don't give, that's my choice and my wisdom. So with regards to the inam and the rewards of Allah, there's no limit to the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has given to each and every one of us. So Allah Ta'ala says, when I give reward, now let's speak about the standard of the rewards that Allah Ta'ala is in our mind, that we don't understand fully. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, I'll speak to you on the level of understanding you have. Okay, I've given you a shop or a business or a house or a wife or children or cars or happiness, or mashallah, you have royalty, you have funds, you have different businesses, one shop, two shops, one house, two houses, three houses. Okay, this is dunya. And we accept this as a ni'mah, don't we? We believe that this is the ni'mah, the be all and end all. And after that, Allah Ta'ala says, what do you do? وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا اللَّهُ أَكْبَرْ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ. Allah Ta'ala says, when I give you this reward, I give you everything in the world, then what do you do? A'arada. Allah says, even then you turn your face away from me. Allahu Akbar. He turns away and arrogantly keeps aloof. No, I'll start salah from tomorrow. The accountant came today, I was busy, I was occupied, I had to go to that shop. Oh, his phone call came, what can I do? I forgot, I didn't have time. Allah Ta'ala says that you consider this as a reward and then you turn away. Arrogantly, you turn your face away and you're free, disconnected from Allah, and you don't remember who gave everything to you, and then you start your criminal actions, and then you switch halal and haram. Is this not happening in the world, my brothers? Allah Ta'ala knows our nafs, our desires, our behavior. Today, if we're sitting here and the lottery comes out, then the imam will come off and we'll trim down to the fashionable style. The wife will say, oh, leave it, let's go to Dubai. You always, you know, the money's going here and there. Let's be grateful. At least if we haven't got money, but at least we've got the imam and we've got the bid that is necessary. So imagine this, that this is the condition, that if money was to come into our pockets, lie in our pockets, then nobody would be sat here. Very unlikely. There's one reason for this. That Allah Ta'ala said that the function within the dunya, within the world, what's happening? What's actually happening? Allah Ta'ala said that there's such a force, a cycle, that wherever their dunya is present, hubbud dunya, wherever the love of the dunya is present, then where there is love of the dunya, you cannot have love of Allah in the same time, the same place. Allah has clearly explained this, that these are two opposites. Yeah? You understand? For example, like two wives, you can go up to four. Okay, so but two or one. So two wives, and they cannot stay in the same house. Two wives for the same husband, they cannot dwell in the same home. And only those people have an experience. I don't have that, you don't have that. That if you try to keep them both under the same roof, what will happen? Before time, your beard will go white, your back will bend, and illnesses will come because you have two wives. Stresses, challenges. And this is the individual who's unjust. And if you sit down to do justice, then you won't have time. If you want to do hisab kitab, accounting for the two wives, Allah said that you gave 2 rupees to her, 2 to her. If you gave 3 to her, then 3 to her. Equal balance you have to mete out. Otherwise, there's adab, severe. So, but we have desire, we have a want, 2 wives, 3 wives, 4 wives, and 1, 4 is sunnah. So the example of this is, for example, 2 women, and you can bring zahidas to home. Pious women from one family, you could bring them, but what will they do? They will not want to stay together. They'll make noise and clamor and friction. So Allah Ta'ala has given the same example here, that the dunya, the love of the world and the love of Allah, the heart is one, but there should be only one love in that heart. That's it. That's it. If you want to love, then you have to love Allah alone. The responsibilities Allah Ta'ala has given to us, for example, children, wife, uncle, auntie, and relatives. This is not love, these are responsibilities. What should we consider these as? Responsibilities. Don't say that I have to love everything over and above Allah Ta'ala's love. No. My wife's come, Allah Ta'ala says, if you break the rights, then try to fulfill the love of the wife or other relatives. The wife, she has rights on the husband, and the husband has rights on the woman. And Allah Ta'ala says, if I take love away, then all you will do is follow your lust and passion. These are the ahkams, the orders of Allah, the hukuk that we are fulfilling for the relatives. Love is for a little while. It's for a little while, isn't it? It's only a little while. The love continues for enjoyment and lust, and then after that, where's the love? Then it ends, and then it becomes the kitchen master. And then subhanAllah, those, for example, whatever she uses as the rolling pin, the needle pin, to knead the dough and to cook the bread, then that comes on the head. of the husband, and vice versa. So the love, it's only temporary, there's friction, there's anger. For example, when the marriage takes place, there's poems and couplets, and there's love, mutual love, and the defects, you don't see them as defects, and there's understanding, and when you see everything, the beauty, but once the love disappears, alhamdulillah, the same hand, the hair is in the hands and he's punching and there's spoons being thrown, etc. So in reality, Allah Ta'ala says that I've given you my ahkams and I've sent down the rights for humanity, and we have to fulfill and distribute the rights. Whether we like or not, we have to give the rights to the wife. Whether you have love or not, but the wife has to give the rights to the husband and the husband has to give the rights to the wife. Otherwise there are punishments as a result of not distributing the rights, sharing the rights. So two women, the two wives of the same husband in the house, they cannot survive together. So in the heart, you can either have the love of Allah or you'll have the love for the dunya. So if you say, I have dunya and I'm doing ibadah, dunya and I'm doing dhikr, no, it cannot be. It cannot be. That dunya, that you've got the love of dunya in your heart and you're doing dhikr, then even in maraqbah, you'll be counting your money. In maraqbah, you'll be remembering your work. Rather what? You'll keep on looking at the phone. Is the light come on? Is there some new business coming? A new customer come? How can this be? Allah Ta'ala has made the principle of hubba dunya. And what else is dunya? The love of dunya? That Allah Ta'ala said there are rights of the dunya. That as long as it is needed to fulfill your necessities, fine. Go towards the dunya. But don't go beyond that. If you go beyond the necessities, then you will drown. Then forget, the love of the world will take a person down. But Allah Ta'ala says, if you want my love in your heart, then you'll have to take the love of the dunya out of your heart. That's why this is the principle and the law. When a person becomes wealthy and rich, Allah Ta'ala says, A'urada. He has turned his face away from me. Why? Because the love of dunya has come into his heart. So how can my love be in his heart? No, he has gone away from me. Allah Ta'ala is telling us the nature of the human being. So when Allah Ta'ala says he's far from me, the individual here cannot come to me. And then what happens after that? Then there's ungratefulness. Allah Ta'ala says the person who's drowned in the love of the world, Allah Ta'ala says, then will he call out to my love? Will he recite the verses and remember me? Will he remember the Quran? Recite the Quran with my love? If my love is not in his heart and he's become overwhelmed and overtaken with the love of the dunya, then Allah Ta'ala says he will turn away. A'arada, that dunya that he considered as a reward, as treasures, that became a busy occupation for him and he is turned his face from me, Allah Ta'ala said. This is the nature of man. And the second quality, or the second condition, you could say, Allah Ta'ala mentions, is that وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ. Allahu Akbar. So now the next quality, and the pious elders have stated, what's the second quality? The Allah Ta'ala says that if I've made him busy in difficulties, when evil fortune touches him, money's gone, children, illness, children problems, family issues, and the people of the dunya are looking down at him, he's lost, he's got no money left, he's got no wealth, no resources, no family. So when such a bad position comes in a person's life, a difficult position, challenging position, what does he do? Allah, then he does dua. Allah does, what does he do? He runs to Allah. Oh, okay, let's do wazifa. Let's go to the wali of Allah. Let's go and do umrah. Let's go and sit in the masjid and dua. Let's go to the Kaaba in front of multazam and ask Allah. So he does dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes towards dua. He goes towards the masjid. And he keeps an artificial beard maybe for a little while. And then maybe the burqa, the niqab will be worn. And this happens in it with the women and the men. Subhanallah. And then Surah Yaseen, etc. Call this person, call that person. Allah. But Allah says, the a'rada, but when وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَذُو دُعَاءَ عَرِيدٌ. And this is what happens, isn't it? When we have difficulties and challenges, before that difficulty he had no care, no due care, no remembrance of Allah. But when the difficulty came, then they're doing dua, they're going to do umrah, they're going to the house of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Suddenly the remembrance of Allah. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah rahmatullahi explained both conditions. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah rahmatullahi said that the first condition that surrounds a man, that dunya comes and there's a lot of world of the love of the world. Allah says, and he stated that this is the biggest shaitaniyat and shar and evil. That if there's a person in this condition that he's loved the dunya so much that he's forgotten Allah, there can be no greater act of shaitan than this, where a person loves the dunya and forgets Allah. And the second condition, we're asking for du'as and Allah, we want this and X, Y, Z. Allah Ta'ala knows all the hearts. So Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah said that this is another sheikh whose statement I'm presenting to you. This in Tafsir Usmani, this has been mentioned that the second condition in reality, Hazrat said, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah said, Rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him, that the second condition where a person, he, when he has problems and he comes back to prayers, then he goes to extreme. This is an example of extreme non-patience, not having patience. And that person's drowned in the dunya. We say he's doing du'as and he's doing a lot of actions, good actions. He's changed, he's improved, etc. Allah said, don't consider the person as pious now. Rather, he has no patience and no sabr. And he has a severe lack of sabr because he's immersed in the dunya. And the second point that has been written and explained is that the reality is that the du'as that this person is asking, the sujood, the prostration, the wazifas, the recitations, his hands are raised, but he still doesn't have hope in his heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. No, he doesn't have that yaqeen in the heart that Allah ta'ala will give to me. So he's doing the actions and he's thinking, will I get or will I not get? It's difficult. I don't know if it's going to happen. So he doesn't have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't have yaqeen. Look at the nature of that person that the Quran is defining. So both conditions where a person, for example, he turns away from Allah, even when Allah Ta'ala gives him blessings, he turns away from Allah. Or when he has difficulties, he runs back to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, you see this here, that he's become pious? Don't accept this. Why he's asking for this reason? Because he's got a bad position, negative position, difficult position. That's why he's run back to me and turned to me. So, for example, he thinks that Allah Ta'ala is nothing when he has all of the treasures. But when he has problems, he runs back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we think that we will get Allah Ta'ala back on our side through wazaifa, or recite Surah Yasin, or go to the Kaaba, do Umrah, all your difficulties will go away. So what do? We play games with Allah. We think Allah Ta'ala, astaghfirullah, the connection of Allah is business. We are trying to dodge Allah, our Creator. Na'udhu billah. Imagine this. Are these not our feelings? And go into the homes, into families, and we'll see this as a common trait. Today there's a khatam here, there's recitation here, we'll remember the deceased here or there. Yes, Allah Ta'ala said that in reality, what is this? That you are doing all of this prayer due to the difficulty that's coming to your life. But another point here, Allah Ta'ala says that there's a middle path, a balanced path. Allahu Akbar. In the middle, there's a path. And Allah Ta'ala says that if in this difficulty, in this situation of difficulty, if the servant, before he turns to Allah, if before he turns to wazifas and extra prayers and worship, and definitely he has realized that Allah, I've made a mistake and I'm in difficulty, I've got issues and problems, and I used to play games and etc. in the dunya, I didn't turn to you. So if a person comes to that position, if he does tawbah first, then he will be most successful. And this is the condition that we need to bring into our lives. That if a person realizes that Allah, it's you who's in control, and then I do tawbah, I repent, Allah say, that Allah, you are all powerful, I made a mistake, I've done all of the wrong actions and the sins, and now the difficulties that you wanted to give me, you gave to me. But Allah Ta'ala, the benefit I've got from this difficulty is that it's made me come closer to you. Subhanallah. And look how the feeling of both situations has changed now. That Allah, this difficulty that you sent to me, this has made me closer to you. If this difficulty didn't come, if this worry didn't come, then I would have forgotten you. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, Allah, Allah, these were big adab, big punishments that I was in. Whichever way I turned, my hal was in such a negative. So just a little bit of difficulty you've given to me, Allah, you've saved me from the big challenge, from the big test, and you've saved me from the fire of Jahannam. Look at the difference here, isn't it? See the difference? That's why the pious elders have stated that both conditions are deception for the human being. The first one and the second one. Those du'as and not du'as, the wazifas and not wazifas, the recitations and not recitations. Is this the way to please Allah? If we want to please Allah and come out of our difficulties, then leave the difficulties to Allah. And what do we need to do? Is to do tawbah, to repent sincerely and honestly. And what is the true tawbah? After having the difficulty, that Allah Ta'ala says, I'll define to you what is tawbah. True tawbah is an action. It's a condition that you put your hand and into the hand of Allah and say, Allah, I agree, I promise. When a night comes, we consider it a night. When it's day, we consider it a day. When it's evening, we consider it as evening. Allah, we are your servants. We want servanthood, my Mawla. And I don't want to mix anything forth into this. What will happen then? The love of the dunya will come out of the heart. The problems and the scenario of difficulties will be eliminated. And then the fadl of Allah will come into the life of the person. And that person will be assigned to Allah. Subhanallah. What a great, great example Allah has given of the two contrasts in our lives, and Allah has given us the solution. So the conclusion that comes out is that if we analyze our lives a little bit, open our eyes wide, and what is Allah explaining to us, the point that emanates from this whole verse, what is that point that emanates, the summary, is that the human being, whether he's in happiness or sadness, difficulty or ease, Whichever condition we are in, whether we're in illness or in good health, whether I'm rich or I'm poor, whether I've got difficulties up to the height of mountains, or I've got rewards, stacks of rewards and wealth. But the feeling of the mu'min should be that not for a second should the mu'min be devoid of the remembrance of Allah in his heart. Allah Ta'ala says that this is the relationship between me and you, that you should not forget me. Allah Ta'ala says that's it. فَاذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah says that remember me and I'll remember you. And vice versa. Allah says, implement and demonstrate servanthood to me. And Allah says that I'll make everything easy for you. Do you know every second what I'm taking from you, what I'm giving to you? You don't even know, you don't even realize, you shouldn't even think that, oh, I'm not getting anything. Allah says, your job, your function is that you have to stay focused. Allah, it's me and you, and I just want to remember you and nothing else. What a beautiful feeling a person develops within his heart, his mind, his soul. And this is what we need to do. That's why we go to the awliyaullah. That's why we learn dhikr from the friends of Allah, from the sheikh, from the mashayikh. So that Allah, we create a condition in our hearts that we never forget you, that we remember you every day, so that we can remember you every day, so that we have such a deep relationship with you, is that when you call us back to yourself, then from our tongues only your name will be recited. Subhanallah. That's it. That was the desire of Hazrat Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said to his beloved companions radiyallahu anhum, that my desire for every ummati of mine, that's why this hadith has been spread and narrated and it has reached to us. Rasulullah said that every ummati of mine should be such, he should have such a strong link with Allah, such a strong link with Allah, that at the time of death, when there will be a lot of difficulty at the time of death, but on the tongue, his moist tongue should be recited the name of Allah. So should we do dhikr or not, my friends? It's not tasbih dhikr I'm talking about, is it? Yes, tasbih, normal counting of the beads. This isn't what we should be attracted to. We shouldn't run away from the dhikr of Allah. Yes, there's one point, alhamdulillah, that the feeling of today, it will be different to what was yesterday, and the next day will be different to what is today, etc. So when a person sticks to the path, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah said that when a person wants to select something or observe something, then the tariqah is this, that he has to persevere through the first condition, and then the second condition Allah gives more and then barakah, and he starts to enjoy. So when a person gets beyond the first stage, then he cannot leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. He'll have istiqamah and steadfastness. When a person remembers Allah so much, and he has istiqamah and steadfastness, and he's punctual, then alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's barakat will be distributed automatically to the person. For example, today I want to start doing dhikr. New brothers, they come, they learn dhikr. And today, nobody wants to learn qalbi dhikr. It's not fashion amongst us today that we want to make our heart alive. We use the word fashion. I'm using the word fashion just to give you the example. We just sit the sides or the back. Allah Ta'ala has given us tasbih. Then at least make your heart alive through the company of the wali of Allah, your family, relatives, your wife, children, chachu, etc., uncles. Invite them, come, this is a friend of Allah, and make your heart alive, end of story. But no, we don't want to do this. We don't have a desire, we have no passion. No, that we don't even believe that there will be benefit in this. Tell me. So, for example, you have been sent to a wali Allah, and you get the reward of the company of the wali Allah, and he gives you some dhikr on the tasbih, then obviously, for example, I'll start with 5 tasbihs with the fadl of Allah, I'll start with 3. That's enough, alhamdulillah. But you have to do it every day. That's the instruction of the teacher. How many do you have to do? 3 tasbihs, Allah, 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 that we say. Yes, you need to do them daily. Start with 3, but don't decrease, and do it with istiqamah, with steadfastness. Every man can do 3 tasbih in 2 minutes, isn't it? And then on top of that, if you have wudu, you don't have wudu, no problem. Sit down. You have to sit down. Just like I have to go to work, I see 3 minutes left, no problem. So you do 3 tasbihs, it'll take 1 minute to do 3 tasbihs. Tuck, 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 tuck. Yes, tapping the beads, you do dua and you go, and your dhikr has been completed, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah. That's it. You have to start from this point, from this platform, from this level. But if you want to start with 5 tasbihs, you can start with 5, it'll take 5 minutes. That's it. Then see the beautiful effects of the dhikr that you do with steadfastness. The anwarat and the fadail and the mercies and the barakat and the blessings. But the first point here is that the first action I need to do, that my shaykh instructed me to do the wazifa. Then after that I'll do other ibadah or recite Quran or do other actions, virtuous actions. Everything else comes after. First is the wazifa, that the 5 minutes dhikr I need to do morning and evening, I need to fulfill that first. Because this is the instruction. And then I'll do other actions after that. Do you understand, brothers? This is what we're going to do. When an individual does this, then alhamdulillah, then he becomes used to and habitual with the action. And then mashallah, a person does 100,000 dhikr in the day. He started with 3. Subhanallah. And many times you'll see in the dunya that if a person starts business with £100, then it goes and continues and continues, it grows. When he retires and he has 10-15 lakh of properties, 1.5 million of properties. When I started business, I had £100 in my pockets. How much? £100. And I didn't take a loan, and I never gave a loan, and that's my habit, that's my rule. I had £100. And everyone said that, you're going to do business with £100? You're crazy. And that was Arndale Centre. He's going to run the shop with £100? In the Arndale Centre? And this was the order of my Hazrat, was whatever comes from the words of the Walis of Allah, then the effect takes place. My Hazrat said, the earned with your hands, and whatever I did was all dunya, my degrees and my studies, my MSc in management, hotel management, catering. I had all these academic certificates. So on one side was dunya, and the other side was the statement of my sheikh. I said, I'll leave the dunya and I will follow the statement of my sheikh, even if I have to pass away hungry. I'm telling you the truth, I'll pass away hungry, but I will not run towards dunya. Why? Because I've taken the hand of the wali of Allah, subhanallah. And then I'll have to be consistent and steadfast, not drama and play games. So I said that, for example, I've taken the hand of the wali of Allah, and whatever happens in the dunya, that will be my benefit through all the ups and the downs, the hunger and poverty and thirst. What can I say to you, that such difficulties pass through in life, but I did not shudder, I did not wilt. I said, Allah, you give this £100. So much barakallah ta'ala gave, and the shop was there, and the £100 was in my pocket. And somebody gave, for example, the shop and £100 in the pocket at the same time, alhamdulillah. Then when that person retires with the fadl of Allah, then alhamdulillah, there's a house and we're eating and drinking, and don't need to take from anyone or give to anyone, no loan, no debt. I retired with ease, I didn't have to give anything to anybody, and until today, alhamdulillah, I'm doing salam the dunya. And if, for example, there's a bit too much, I'll say, oh, hey, this is your money, I had to extra money that I need to give to you. So when an individual bows to Allah, runs to Allah, then he should trust in Allah, isn't it? No, we're doing du'as, I'm doing wazifas and reciting Surah Yaseen, and then even in our hearts, then we don't have yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala will give to us. Allah Ta'ala says that, why is he going to a difficult life and he wants to take difficulty away from him? That's why he's wanted the wali of Allah. That's it. It shows here that he doesn't want Allah. That Allah Ta'ala, if you want Allah, if you're seeking Allah Ta'ala's nearness, then there's a second method. Forget doing all these wazifas, bow in front of Allah, prostrate in front of Allah, do immediate tawbah. Allah Ta'ala said that such angels there are in the heavens, close to the arsh, close to my throne, Allah Ta'ala says. And for such people who do istighfar, they do istighfar for such people, they seek forgiveness and do du'as for such good people on the earth. They say, Allah, forgive this person, forgive this person. So this was a very beautiful condition and point, because I was reading this verse in the Quran today. While I was reading this verse, I thought, okay, let me share the meaning and the explanation with my friends. And I enjoyed this verse. I started from this point and I didn't read the rest of the juz after this, because this is my, for example, I think it's Surah Fusilat. And I said, let me first speak to my friends. And a great opportunity, alhamdulillah, a great message that we've got from this verse of the Quran. Because this is our feeling and condition, isn't it? That we play games and we play dramas with Allah, we challenge Allah. So we should seek forgiveness from Allah. We want to become Allah's friend, close to Allah. Then there's only one way. Fair enough, we've committed sins, done bad actions, we're stuck in problems, in a quagmire. Allah Ta'ala listens. Allah Ta'ala brings the person out of the trap and gives more. Allah will give Jannah and Dunya at the same time. But do it the right way. Not that I'll do Yaseen Khatam every day, Quran Khatam. The proper method is bow in front of Allah, prostrate in front of Allah, and accept that we are sinners. That we are, for example, like gangsters in the world, and we've done many, many sins many times over. What a great point if a person repents. May Allah Ta'ala show us the true path, the right path, and give us true tawbah, sincere tawbah before we pass away. Otherwise, if the secret is unraveled in the hereafter, then we'll be in a very difficult position.